What's our priority? Preach the gospel. Make disciples. And anytime we get away from that, we are going to have issues and problems because we have veered from God's agenda for the church.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue a message from 1 Corinthians 1. We're calling it Cliques in the Church, and we're taking a look at what is all too often a problem in many of our churches today. A group of people within a church, usually governed by some sort of a ringleader that kind of divides a church, maybe makes it seem exclusive to outsiders. And because of that, it lends itself to many other problems. But as Pastor Ford pointed out just a few moments ago, really the priority of the church is to preach the gospel and to make disciples. What a great antidote for cliques in our churches today. When we get away from preaching the gospel and making disciples, that's where the problems tend to creep in. So let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here is Pastor Ford.
So he deals with the condition, and he deals with it first. Now he deals with the cause. Look at verse 12. Here's the cause. What's the root of the issue? What's the cause of our condition? A party spirit. A party spirit, yeah, clannish. They had an unbalanced allegiance to a particular group or a person. Listen to this. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. See, it was personality driven. And these are called cliques. Where individuals were saying, look, I belong to this person, I belong to that person. I mean, you go through each one, you know what they had? There were some who were saying, I like Paul. Because Paul was the deep theologian, great Bible teacher, able to teach angelology, bibliology, Christology, demonology, ecclesiology, eschatology. He's able to teach all of the great theological truths of Scripture. And Paul was deep, dispensational truth and all that. And everybody said, I just love Apostle Paul. But then there were some who said, I like Apollos. He was the silver-tongued orator. And he was a person who could mesmerize you with his articulation and his oratorical skills. And so everybody was saying, yeah, you go with Paul. I like Apollos. And then you had the Peter party. Those were the ones who were probably legalistic. Peter was one who cried loud, spare not, flat-footed preacher, preach against sin. But then you had those super spiritual people, I of Christ. Now, this wasn't a good thing because in the context, what he's telling us is these were a group of super spiritual Pharisees who say, I don't follow any man, I only follow Jesus Christ. And so you had these individuals, and it was a party spirit that caused them to have these contentions. Now, these four groups are in the church today, too. I know you know that. Now, I want you to notice some things. Notice everybody mentioned there, none of them were present. Paul wasn't there. Apollos wasn't there. Peter wasn't there. And Christ wasn't there in person. Look at what's going on here. That there could be somebody sitting here now that was influenced by somebody who'd been gone a long time ago, but still able to infect what's happening now. Notice this. Notice the emphasis is on I. Now let me read it like it is in the Greek. I now say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. You get it? You see what's happening? It's clique, it's sectarian. And what's he saying? Your focus is, well, why are you aligned to these individuals? There's something about these individuals that appeals to me. So it's a with them. What's in it for me? I'll follow you. What's in it for me? I'll listen to you. What's in it for me? I'll come to the church. What's in it for me? I'll be in your ministry. What's in it for me? Now, notice I represents the whole group. How are you speaking for everybody? Because we all got the same mind. We all think the same way. Well, how do you know that? Because we done talked about it. We'd already said what we believe. I know this is castor oil truth, but take your castor oil, all right? I took mine doing it. And so what happens here? A clique usually has someone who governs the group, a ringleader. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, 1 and 2. I beseech ye, Euodias and Syntyche, that you be in the same mind in the Lord. I challenge you, true yoke fellow, bring them together. Now, the Philippian church was founded by women. There were only women there in Acts chapter 16. And so the first leaders were women. Now, these women, Syntyche and Euodias, couldn't get along together, couldn't work well together. What did their names mean? Anybody got any idea? Syntyche, let me tell you what it means. Work well with. Euodias, speak well of. And so work well with, couldn't work well with, and speak well of, wasn't speaking well of. They weren't even living up to their names. And neither do we, because what's our name? Christian? Christ-like ones? So then what is a clique? And I want to make sure that we know we're not talking about semantics. Because why is it my clique but your friends? How come it can't be my friends too? So that we can identify what is a clique, because, you know, everybody say church folk don't do nothing but clique. Let me give you the 10 characteristics of a clique. Can I do that? All right, here we go. Number one, exclusivity. We four no more, shut the door. That is a clique, you can't get into it because it's a closed circle. You've got to go through some kind of initiation of some sort to get in. Exclusivity. Second characteristic, evaluation. What do you mean by that? You are judged by how you treat everyone in the clique. So you just can't like the leader. You got to like everybody in the clique. You got to go along with everybody in the clique. Thirdly, expectations. Expectation. If one doesn't, then you don't. If one does, then you do. Number four, emulation. What do you mean by that? If one falls out with somebody, everybody falls out with them. If one person ain't speaking to them, now you see the difference between a clique and a friend. Fifth characteristic, indoctrination. So what do you mean? You can't think independently. There's no room for diversity. And so therefore, vision is quenched. Progress is impeded. Because only certain people in the clique are allowed to give ideas. No room for diversity. Cookie cutter Christians. Usually these people have the same temperaments and the same attitudes, and they usually deal with things the same way. Number six. Eminence. What does that mean? We're more important than everybody else. Our ministry is the most important ministry. Our problems are the most important problems. Our concerns are the most important concerns. We expect everybody to participate in what we're doing, but we don't participate when others do something. Number seven, evasive. Cliques are evasive. What do you mean? They'll acknowledge your faults, but they won't acknowledge their own. Number eight, elevation. Number eight is elevation. Preferential treatment based on being in the clique. People in the clique can do something, you know, good old boys club, good old girls club, but everybody can't do it. Number nine, extremist. They lack balance. So then we talked about it. Oh, that's right. Some of you are not studying Galatians. We're studying Galatians. Here's what I put up on the board for Galatians. That what you have over here to the left is license. You can live any way you want as a Christian. The grace gives you the privilege of living like a yard dog. And then on this side, there's legalism. Can't do anything. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls who do.
And so then Paul said in the book of Galatians, they came to spy out your liberty and to steal it. Well, what keeps the pendulum from swinging to the far left or to the far right? It has to be anchored with love. Love is the anchor that anchors our liberty. And so you have individuals who go one extreme to the other. And then the last element of a clique, number 10, is an executive. There's always somebody in charge. And it may not be the person that has the title. So now, Paul says, listen, let me tell you the condition. Look around you. When you see mess, what's going on? It's a result of a party spirit. Here's the cure. Listen to verse 13. It's a rhetorical question. Is Christ divided? Answer it. No. Was Paul crucified for you? Answer it. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Here's the cure. Notice, first of all, the first part of the cure is the completeness of Christ. Completeness of Christ. He says, was Christ divided? In other words, if you look at it, you've got all of him in you. So here's what the Bible says, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
What a great truth to be thinking about. You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., a message entitled Clicks in the Church, and we're going to get back to this in just one moment. I want to let you know Pastor Ford has written a number of books, and if you want to check those out, you can always come to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. Click on the Books by Pastor Ford link on the left side of the homepage, and you can see the different titles available as a paperback or in an ebook format. And if you're ever in the Chicago area, you can visit Christ Bible Church of Chicago and hear Pastor Ford speak live. You can get that information at our website. Again, it's treasuretruthradio.org. Just click on the About link. Let's get back to our message, Clicks in the Church. Once again, here is Pastor Ford.
Does anybody remember, you know what, I don't remember where I did it. So if I did it here, you know, you could just say, you did it here, and because I don't remember, I'm teaching so many places, I don't remember what I taught, where I was, even though I make notes to myself, you know. But anyway, it's like in Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10, what does he say? He says, listen, I want to tell you, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's his deity. Then he says, you are complete in him. That's our humanity. Who is the head of all principality. That's his sovereignty. Look at what he says. The completeness of Christ makes you complete. And he sandwiched us in between his deity and his sovereignty in the fact that we are who we are based on who he is. He is not compartmentalized. He does not have denominations. He does not have factions. So he dwells in you in all of his fullness, and therefore you are complete in him. Because if you don't have all of him, you don't have any of him. He's one Christ. He's complete. It would be like coming in here but leaving your legs outside. That ain't gonna happen. And that's what's wrong with liberation theology, black theology. No rich Christ, poor Christ. One head, one body. Because anything with two heads is a monster, and anything with no head is dead. And so Christ here, the completeness of Christ, is a cure for it, because a Christian church divided is a contradiction. I don't have time to go through all of them, but if you want to take notes, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Romans 12, 5. Romans 12, 5, 1 Corinthians 6, 17, 1 Corinthians 6, 17, 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, then John 17, 21 and 22. Let me deal with that one. John 17, 21, he prayed, Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prayed for our unity. He says, unify them so that the world will know that you have sent me. What's the implications? If we're not unified, the world doesn't know that God sent Jesus. Well, they sure are confused now, aren't they? Amen. And so he says, that's what we need. The completeness of Christ is the cure. I want you to see all of them around there. Here's the second one. It's right there. It's right there. Was Paul crucified for you? The cross of Christ. See what the cure is? It's not learning how to get along with your neighbor. It's not winning friends and influencing people. It all has to do with the completeness of Christ. When you understand that there is one body, one head that unifies. When you realize that the ground is level at the cross, that unifies. And so then it is we understand that the cross of Christ unifies us. Galatians 6:14. Let me just read it to you. What Paul said in the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14. Here's what he said. He said, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, they needed to see the cross. And the cross can control what's going on in the midst of us. It unifies us. It unifies us. Then notice the third part of the cure, the control of Christ. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? You're not talking about just water baptism. What is he talking about? I am dead, buried, raised in a newness of life with Jesus Christ. It's saying now I belong to him. He says his name. His name represents all that he is. He's talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not making a big deal about water baptism. Here's what he's doing. Matthew 28:19-20. We call it the Great Commission. What does it say? Who could real quick quote it? Anybody? Just stand up, quote it. Just stand up, quote it. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm with you always today. Okay, so he said, baptize them in the name, singular, of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three personal pronouns. The word baptizo is transliterated. The spelling is brought over from Greek, not the meaning. What does the word mean? It means to identify with. That's what the word baptizo means, to identify with. Okay, let me get the Bible in this, because I know somebody's going to say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? No. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Turn there real quick, because my time is gone. 1 Corinthians 10, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses. You mean over 2 million people was placed into Moses? Dipped into Moses? No. Identified under Moses' leadership. He's using it in its meaning. It means to identify with. So it literally spoke they got the word picture from people who would color things, like Lydia. She was a seller of purple. She'd take a garment, white, stick it in the purple, and put it in there, and what would happen? The cloth would be identified with the purple dye. It would now be purple. We are supposed to be identified with Jesus Christ. In the Great Commission, you know what he's saying? He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, identifying them as Trinitarians. Those who believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so here now, were you baptized, were you identified in the name, all that Jesus is? No. No. Then finally, he gives them the commitment. So we looked at the condition. We see the cause. He gives the cure. Notice the commitment. For Christ, explanatory gar, reason, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Look what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, listen, you got to understand something. Here's what happens. Now notice how he flipped the script. Here's what happened when you get away from the priority that the church should have. What's our priority? preach the gospel, make disciples. And anytime we get away from that, we're going to have issues and problems because we have veered from God's agenda for the church. So now God is not going to give us his power to do our thing. And so he says, listen, here's the commitment that you need to shift from what you're doing to focus on preaching the gospel. See, in trouble, and when trouble comes, I don't know about you, can I just speak for myself, have a tendency to shift, to begin to fight fires, to begin to try to do this, try to do that, try to do this, instead of saying, wait a minute, that's just to get you off of your square. Don't get off of your square. You're supposed to preach the gospel. Anybody ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? Some of you saw that little series. A lot of it was true. Guess how it started in the 1800s. It started over a pig. A pig. They were fighting over a pig. So five McCoys died because of a pig, and seven Hatfields died because of a pig. But oh, the feud was over. You know what settled the feud? A marriage. A Hatfield married a McCoy, and the feud stopped. I submit to you, the Hatfields and the McCoys in the church just need to renew their vows to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that'll stop the feuding in the church.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford and a message called Cliques in the Church. Really a helpful look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. And if you want to listen to this broadcast again or the first part that we aired last time, come to the website and listen online. Our website address is treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, I know that probably almost on a daily basis, we have people who are finding this radio program. They are beginning to listen. They appreciate the Bible teaching. They may not really understand how this program is produced and how we're able to get it on the air each and every day.
Right, because it is a listener-supported program. They may not know that. I received a letter from someone who was just trolling through their radio and hit Moody Radio, and my voice attracted them. And they said they listened. This has been a couple years ago, and they've been listening for a few years. Well, they had sent in a donation. They let me know. I sent in a donation to the program, something I've never done before. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Yeah. And even when I was working with Cher, had a couple people call in and say, I've never given before, but I'm being ministered to, and I'm so grateful now to be a part of the Moody ministry.
Well, if you're a new listener, maybe you've just been listening for a couple of years now, and it's just never dawned on you that this is a listener-supported ministry, that is how this program is able to stay on the air each and every day. Production costs, airtime, all the things that happen behind the scenes, it's all made possible because of your generosity. You can give a gift right now by coming to treasuretruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. Well, thanks for listening. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.